And if we are in the midst of studying why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, let's begin with a word of prayer. We don't want to spend every two or three nights on every one of the heads of the seven-headed dragon of our soul, but we are in the midst of where the first level of stress, anxiety, and depression originate, and we have studied how that works together and how these things form strongholds in our soul that they're not properly taken care of. So I'm in a catch here because I do want to move on, but at the same time, this right here is where we all live, and if these things are not taken care of, they do go into stress and depression and anxiety. So let's begin with the word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear, understand about our flesh nature in Satan's world as opposed to our nature in Christ. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. So many Christian preachers try to make you, if God is up there judging, raging judgment, wrath, making it very difficult to get into heaven, difficult to live the Christian life, where in reality you have revealed yourself over and over in the Scriptures as a God who is of love. And you've done everything to make it as easy as possible for us to live a life without stress, anxiety, and depression. So we pray now, Father, that Your Spirit will cause us to see what's going on inside of us and Your solution. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Steve, I need a little volume. Okay. We now come to the second head of the seven-headed dragon in our soul. Please remember this is just an analogy from the Bible of studying the seven-headed dragon who appears from Job to Revelation in the Bible. And so we are in the midst of looking at various things that happen inside of our soul with the seven-headed dragon. Now, the first head that we dealt with last week was fear. Now, tonight we're going to move to the second head of the second-headed dragon, anger. Anger. Now, just a few things introducing this. Anger is one of those things that a lot of people, it's different than fear because we sometimes don't think of fear as a sin. But anger, we know is, and therefore many people, Christians, I'm talking to Christians, who experience anger, like to deny it, like to call it something else, but properly identifying things and being honest with yourself and with your relationship with God is part of the real cure and solution to this head of anger. Now, anger is another result. Please understand this. There are two things you'll know about yourself anytime you're in anger. Now, I've got a lot to say about anger. There's an anger that bursts right out there that most of us are familiar with in dealing with anger, but the medical profession has shown that right under that, of what it does to the heart, the expressed anger, what it does to the heart and the human body, what we'll call suppressed anger, goes right down into depression and does second right under what the overt anger does to the heart, the blood pressure. Suppressed anger is almost as detrimental to our physical body and, by the way, to our spiritual life and our relationship with others. But two things you want to know about anger, whether it's expressed anger or suppressed anger, two things you'll know about yourself. First of all, anger is one of the results and an indication that you are living under Satan's lie. Now, all of these are going to be related to Satan's lie because that is the source of fear. And now this is going to be, when you are in anger, you know that you are living under Satan's lie. You're not living under God's plan you're under Satan's lie. And again, what is Satan's lie? Satan's lie is my self-worth. Now, please play right here with me. My. Oriented to myself. Now, in a sense, that's not wrong, because God made us that way. We all must have that self-identification, and we're going to see how we find that in Christ. But my self-worth is made up of my performance. This is one of those areas dealing with, I talked to you Sunday morning about how I'm going to really struggle and clip my notes on repetition. But I can't talk about Satan's lie too many times, and it's not repetition. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is, looking at this tonight, is a brand new look at it. It's a brand new look at Satan's lie. Because what I want to show you is how Satan's lie is related to anger. So I'm going to go through this, not as repetition, but as a brand new introduction about Satan's lie and how it affects what's going on inside of you. My self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinion of me, and specifically certain others' opinion of me. So when we become angry, children, teenagers, young people, adults, married, single, doesn't matter. When we become angry, you know that you are living in Satan's lie. And I'll support all of this as we go through our study. But the dealing with my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. And I'm going to show you, I've got this in point, but let me just jump, get your mind going with me. Others' opinion of me, so it is not good, so I become angry at them. My performance is not good, I become angry at those I blame for it not being what it should. So anger is directly related and is a result of, born out of, us living under Satan's lie. Very close to that, that's number one about anger. Secondly, the second major thing that I want you to know about anger is that when we are in anger, when you're in anger, you know that you're living in the flesh. You're in the flesh self. You are not in the spirit. You are not in who you are in Christ. So there's two things we need to know. It's a result of living in Satan's lie, and people, it is a dangerous one. It is dangerous to you, your health, your living in the spirit. It is dangerous to relationships, parents, children, home, husband, wife, friends, church, social life, work. But the one that I care most about here, it's dangerous to your relationship with God. And I'm going to show you that as a general principle, when we're really angry, we're angry at God. Now, we don't like to admit that. No, I'm angry at my ex-husband. I'm angry at my ex-wife. I'm angry at my parents. I'm angry at this. I'm angry at that. But as Christians, ultimately, we are angry at God because ultimately we know all things are in His control. And this is very important to you. Don't be afraid. 1 John 1:9 in its true application. Don't be in denial. Don't be afraid to acknowledge, I am angry at God. That's very healthy. We deny it because we stand back and say, well, one, we can't be angry at God. Like, it's okay to be angry at my husband and my wife, but I can't be angry at God. No. And we got this idea, boy, anger at God, He's going to come down and look. People, please have the proper view of God. He is so, so infinite that your anger is not going to shake Him. And I'll give you a human illustration. I love the dear old woman that reared me and my siblings. And I'll never forget, we'd get mad as little guys, and we'd get, and we'd slam our door. Now, some parents, boy, they'd go in and beat the kid for doing that. I didn't bother her one bit. She just said, you break anything, you pay for it. We didn't shake her. without anger. Now, if that can happen in the human realm, how much more with God? So it's really healthy if you can, in the quietness of your own life, in your own soul, I'm really angry at you, God. And now, having said that, you're on your way to working it out. But as long as you're in denial, you're not going to work it out with God. You're still going to try to work it out with other people who you think is the direction of your anger, instead of really working it out where you need to. And I'll come to all of that when we get near the end. Anger is as complex as fear. It is directly related to stress, anxiety, and depression. Of those three, anger is more related to distress. In fact, depression is said to be anger turned inside. Anger is going to make you a slave if you don't take care of it properly. The mind usually begins with a subtle irritation, but can quickly, in an instant, move to hostility. A person can be said to be very calm, and then all of a sudden, kapow, break out in such anger tantrum that it is just frightening. So the mind usually begins with a subtle irritation, quickly moves to hostility, and then, and you want to have this in your notes or at least in your mind, then moves to intense aggressiveness. This is one of the characteristics of anger, intense aggressiveness, and finally to do harm. Now, I talk about that doing harm. So, having that little introduction and some things about it in our lives and our homes, let's note some points here about anger that we want to address of the seven-headed dragon. Point one, control. Control. Anger, control. Now remember that everyone's flesh nature seeks to be in control. We have already studied this. I think we've well developed it. People like to say, my husband's a control freak, my parents are control freaks, my wife's a control freak. All of us are control freaks because of our flesh nature. The more that the flesh nature can control, it has a sense of security, and we have seen that control is an illusion. But the more insecure, the more fearful, the more someone is fearful of things and what might happen, the more I've got to be in control. And therefore, a husband has to completely control his wife and the home. And a person has to be in complete control, gives them a sense of security and control as far as life is concerned. Sometimes when others get in the way of control or resist control, anger rises up. Now remember, control is fundamental to our flesh nature because it senses its weakness and its vulnerability. So if someone gets in the way of that control or resist that control, anger is going to rise up from within. Anger often works. This is a principle under part one. Anger often works in controlling others. It often works in controlling others. You scare them. They submit. They passively back off. Traditionally seen in a man toward a woman, but it's seen in many other ways. Women can do it to men and work from the pulpit. But anger does work in controlling people. That's why it's so effective. It has been proven, and the more that it proves itself, the more the person will use it. Anger is often expressed in aggressive hostility. And the purpose of this aggressive hostility is to control others. That's why the aggressiveness. And the more that it is confirmed, the more that you get your way, if you go into anger, the more you will do it. People, husband, wife, children, associates, friends, church, everywhere, are frightened by this aggressive hostility of an angry person. Therefore, they withdraw or become discouraged. They may even go into fear. So now the anger controls people by putting them in fear. Just showing you why and what happens here. It has been proven from some point, children do it with their parents. They go into great anger. Their parents get frightened. Not frightened of them maybe doing damage, but just frightened of what may happen to their children and their parents. And many, many children control their mothers, their fathers, or both with their anger. They found it works. Many husbands control their wives out of anger. They found it works. They go in, as I said, a passive response. They become they become discouraged. Go into fear of their own safety. And people get this in your nose or in your mind. That's exactly what the angry person desires. What is the other people are doing is exactly what the angry person desires to control you. Now why? To protect himself. To protect himself from any form of attack of how something may be his fault, or his failure, or his perceived failure. Instead of dealing with these things, he simply attacks. He shouts. Anger shouts. Anger intimidates. Anger will get right in your face. And then it may go into physical abuse. The purpose of all of these things? To control. To avoid looking at themselves. It's everybody else's fault. I'll come back to that. He shouts, intimidates, gets right in your face, and then the person may go into physical abuse. The ideal to control the other person, to avoid looking at themselves. And anger's aggressive nature often works. It often works. Parents can control their children with anger. Children can control their parents with anger. By a boss, by a boyfriend, sometimes by a girlfriend. Husband, wife, mother, at work, your social life, and even in the church. There are many preachers, and I know some, who use this to control the congregation, put people in fear with their anger from the pulpit, their anger in life, and it is excused. This anger, which is definitely just anger, is excused by people, and they succumb under his control. There are various forms of this aggressiveness of anger. To throw attention off of self, to divert blame, to silence, to shutting people up, and one that I'm going to come to, and punish others. It'd be the form of nothing more than clenched teeth, clenched fist, motion of the body, of the hands, the arms, confrontational movements. And I'm so sorry that many Christian ladies, many Christian wives, live their entire marriage under the control of anger by their husband, who is also a Christian. Point two. With point two, under the study of anger, we are going to introduce into our study of sad something that is so fundamental to sad, so powerfully strong, and we've not talked about it, but it's now time to talk about it. Blaming others. Blaming others. principle. Under point two, anger will often come out of blaming others. If you blame them for what has happened or going to happen, might happen, you blame them and so you're angry at them. The blame game, as it is called, is dangerous. It's powerful. Blaming others gives birth to anger. It also presents another issue we are getting ready to move into at our study, forgiveness. Forgiveness. As long as you are blaming others, you will not forgive. You cannot forgive. As long as you're blaming others, as long as you are angry at others, you cannot forgive. And here's the point. And until you forgive, until you learn how to truly forgive, not just say it, but truly forgive, the seven-headed dragon will remain on the surface of the deep of your soul, ready to rise up at the most simplest of things. Just seeing someone, hearing someone's name, being reminded of an event, and the seven-headed dragon shoots right up. So, the back of anger is blame. You blame someone for something that has happened or has happened or going to happen, some way you have failed, some way you have not measured up, some way you cannot measure up, and rather than deal with that and who you are in Christ, you blame someone else. We start out as children. We blame our parents, blame the school, blame the teacher, blame the coach. Just blame somebody. And if it's catered to, you learn that's a technique, and you go on blaming. Point three. Why is anger often associated with intense aggressiveness? Now, here, think with me now. You blame someone. You become angry at them. And therefore, they must be punished. People with anger don't think this thing through. We just know. What happens is you blame them, become angry at them. They did this. They stopped you from doing something. Whatever it is, either it is their fault, you become angry at them, and now they have to be punished. When the husband, the wife, the parent, the friend, church administration, all these things, when they become angry, they cast blame, they become angry, and the anger leads to administering punishment. Hitting of a wife, hitting of a child, punishing in some way, withholding sex in a marriage relationship, just some form of punishment. And why do they have to be punished? Is it just you've just lost control as an angry person? Because that's what it looks like so often. As an angry person just lost control? No, because fundamentally you have to understand what's happening in your mind and your soul and in their mind and their soul. You, if it's you and if it's someone else that you're associated with. Blame leads to anger, and anger, you've got to be punished. It's your fault. I didn't make it. You've got to be punished. I've got to hurt you in some way. And that's the way they think. Now this is all these things I'm going through are so bad, and that's why anger is often denied by people who are greatly subject to it. They're the most prone to denying it. A healthy person might go into anger every now and then and say, yes, I was. And be able to work with that and move on. But when people have to deal with this as part of their trend, and we know that everyone has a pattern of trend, this is a trend in their life, something going on in their soul, in their life, blaming others, using that, and they've learned to do it as a child, generally, and it works, and being angry to control others works, and then punishing, make them pay. Children want to make parents pay, want to make the teacher pay. You're a bad teacher, you're no good. Want to make the children pay. Make them pay. You're making me look bad. You're hurting us, so you got to pay. So people, when they become angry, then they've got to administer punishment. Four. Remember when we studied a nice study called AM and FM. Now, what was AM and FM? AM and FM. This is important now, so stay with me. AM is, what I've taken here, is we dealt with this under self-talk. And one of the first principles of self-talk was you learn to listen. I can't overemphasize the importance of those 2 or 3 hours of study. This is where you really start learning a lot. But you learn to listen. You learn to listen to yourself, to what's going on in yourself. We all talk inside of our own soul. You got to learn to listen. And there are 2 channels, taking it from a radio, because if we have a radio in your car, and you can push 2 frequencies. You can push AM or FM. Okay. Now, AM, just for fun, this is just an analogy and a way to teach what I want to teach. This is the Adamic mindset. And we looked at a lot of verses in the Bible that actually use the word, Greek word for mindset. The Adamic mindset, and FM was the faith mindset, who we are in Christ. The Adamic mindset is who we are in Adam, that's the flesh nature. So you learn to listen. And if what you hear is AM, you learn to stop listening. You learn to listen, then you learn to stop listening. I don't want that. It's like you were to go out and in your car. You're driving home tonight and you push it. And there's something on, oh, I don't want to listen to that music. Or, I don't want to listen to that news. I don't want to listen to that. So you listen, and then you stop listening. And you change channels. Go to another channel. You go, oh, forget it. I'm going to go over here to FM. Just get some nice, beautiful, soft music. So you go into FM. And whole different flavor. You don't get on AM what you get on FM, and you don't get on FM what you get on AM. So you learn to listen, and if you're on AM, hear what, I don't want that. So you learn to stop listening, and you click the channel. Click how you're going to start thinking. Because remember, all of us studying is your choice. Stress, anxiety, and depression is a choice. We've well documented that now. It is not something that is involuntary. There's a fire right here, and I put my hand in there, and I pull it back. That's involuntary. Stress, anxiety, and depression are not involuntary. We choose to be depressed. And we've seen how a lot of people deny that, but once you start doing it, and don't be afraid to accept that, because that means, see, if it's involuntary, we're in trouble. If it's involuntary, we're in trouble. But if it's voluntary, it means something I can do about it. And that's where we come to the spiritual life. So we switch over. Okay, bringing you to that memory. Having that at the forefront of your thought under point 4. When in AM, your thinking comes from the flesh. Now let's look at one of the stations of AM. And just for fun, we could say, remember, an AM has a lot of stations. And FM has a lot of stations. And what a lot of people do in AM, they're feeling the Adamic thinking, they just change channels. That's all they've done. They've not moved over to spiritual life and FM faith. They've just changed channels. There are a lot of channels. And each of the heads of the seven-headed dragon is a different channel. Okay, let's look at one of the stations in AM. Anger. Now, remember, learn to listen. And here's what some of the things you're going to hear. Here are some of the things you're going to hear when you're in anger. When anger is starting to explode up. Things like this. This is your fault. It's your fault I failed. It's your fault we're having financial problems. It's your fault I sinned. It's your fault I'm failing. It's your fault that you disrupted our house, blaming a little child and becoming angry at a student, a child in school. It's your fault things are not working out the way they should in my mind. These are things that are going on. If you're listening, if you learn to listen, it's your fault that these things are happening to me or to us. It's your fault that my life is not what it ought to be. You should not have done this to me. You should be punished for what you've done to me. And then the anger reaches out to do that. There's all things going on in your mind. It's your fault. It's your fault this is happening. And it's your fault I don't like life. And it's your fault our marriage is no good. It's your fault this is happening. It's your fault that I failed. It's your fault I sinned. And you should be punished. I'm going to throw you a curve here. Better think with me. Why is anger so much associated with punishing others? Hurting them. And you're angry at them. Okay. Let's go to the Bible. Often in Scripture, when God is going to administer judgment, what's usually right there with it? His wrath. His anger. Part of the association of God and his anger is associated with punishment. So, it's characteristic that if I'm angry, if you're angry with someone, they should be punished. And my God, you're going to do it. You're going to make your child pay for what you seem to think is their fault. That you're blaming them happening. You're going to make your parents pay because you can't make the grade, don't want to study. You're going to make your husband pay. You're going to make your wife pay. You're going to make them punished. They're going to be punished. It comes from your anger. And that anger inside. It's your fault I'm in this situation. It's your fault we don't have money. And I'll get you for this. Then comes the outlast of anger. To hurt them. To make them pay for what you think is their fault. Back to blame. This isn't original with me. The slogan, I don't get mad, I get even. Comes from anger. You're mad. You're angry. And you're going to make them pay for your failures. You're going to make them pay for what you blame them for. People, please understand how destructive anger is. It's so destructive. To your relationship with God, to yourself, and to your relationship with others. It is so dangerous. Another line of conversation you might hear if you listen to yourself, they are challenging me. That starts rising anger because you want to control. Like control your children, your parents, your husband, your wife. They're not listening. They're not doing what you want. They're challenging your authority. And I dare you to challenge my authority. I dare you. You're going to pay for this. Preachers use that. Husbands use that. Wives use that. Children use that. Parents use that. Bosses. First thing I want you to learn here, you're going to hear it in your own mind first. Before it ever comes out of your mouth, if you learn to listen, way back on those tapes that are so important, those four tapes we did, you've got to learn to listen. And you'll hear this. And people, right there, this is where you'll nip it. Now, I'm going to come to all of this, what to do with anger, but let's just talk that. If you'll get over to FM right away and nip it right there, because all that thinking is wrong. All that thinking is from anger. And all we have to do, and I say all, not because it's not simple. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Just switch over to FM. Switch over to your faith mindset. Your relationship with God and who you are in Christ. Not blame others and therefore make them pay. So, anger. They're challenging me. It's a whole other area of thinking. They challenge me. They challenge my authority. They challenge my person. They challenge my opinion. They challenge my work. I have to straighten them out. I am threatened. So if you're honest, I'm threatened. So I have to straighten them out. Remember, I didn't bring this up before, but here's a point to put it down into your soul and your mind. Remember, what is anger? anger is part. Now, some people like to say it's a sin, but let's be sure we understand what it is. Anger is part of your flesh immune system. The immune system of the flesh is there to protect you. Jealousy is there to protect you. Anger is there to protect you. You feel threatened. Somewhere or another, you feel threatened. And you've got to get back into control. You've got to get things back. And so, got to control. So, anger is part of our immune system of the flesh. And they're challenging your authority, your person, your opinion, your work. You have to straighten them out. They're threatening what you do. And many people get angry about that. The smallest little things to very big things. Little comment here. Let's say they are challenging your authority. Let's say they are challenging your opinion. And let's say they're wrong in doing that. Let's say they're wrong, totally wrong. What do you and I have to do? You and I have to immediately get over in the FM. And that's going to have to be the responsibility of God. You can't control the world. You don't have to. Control is an illusion. And we will learn how. Because remember, why is all that true? They're challenging my authority. They're challenging who I am. They're challenging my opinion. They're challenging everything. It goes right back, people. It goes right back to Satan's lie. My self-worth is my performance, and you're challenging my performance, and I'm angry at you. You're challenging my opinion, and I'm angry at you. I can't control you. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, so therefore anger lashes out. Anger lashes out. This is why anger shoots out, even when you might least expect it. In a line in a grocery store, you're trying to buy something. You start attacking salespeople. You start shouting, saying all kinds of things that don't even make sense. You stupid person. Don't you know anything? You just think I'm a fool. You're the one that's a fool. I love Jack Nicklaus. I forgot the name of the movie right now. I'm not going to tell. What is your name? You're going to get my lawyer. And through the whole movie. I think you're out of towners now that it comes to mind. I mean, here's a little black book to steal everybody's name. And he's going to sue everybody. He walked around angry through the whole movie. Give me your name. And take the name of the hotel people, the taxi car driver, a bum in the street, a preacher in the church. They want to close the church down. What is your name? You can't close the church down. And after the movie, it's going to become very angry at people. That's it. You're challenging me, and I'm not in control of the situation anymore. And don't you know who I am? I've seen that by professional people. Don't you know who I am? You can't do that to me. Straighten yourself up and do what I want. And the more I shout, the more I intimidate, guess what? I'll get my way. You walk up. Spiritual life. People, this is why the spiritual life looks like you're always getting kicked around. You're not always going to get your way when you walk in the spiritual life. You walk up and they say, well, I'm sorry we can't help you right now, but if you wait just a minute, I'm just be patient in the Lord. What do you mean, wait? Give me my service life. Get this guy out of here. He's going to throw a gasket right here in our store. Get him out of here. See? It works. On the surface, anger works. It controls people. It intimidates people. That's why people use anger all the time. It's just not worth it. Get out of their way. You don't know who's going to pull a gun. You don't know who's going to do anything. It works. It intimidates. That's why anger is so, the expression of anger is so powerful. I get my way. In a store, on the streets, in the home, school, work, church, everywhere. Anger works. And getting in control, or apparent control. Making a fool of yourself works. Goodbye. So many things are going on inside when you are in anger and when anger sets in. We've already seen blame. But there are the things that are involved with the complexity of anger, perfectionism. And things are not perfect. Perfectionist is an arrogant word by people, got to have everything just right, and when it doesn't work just right, they become angry. If it's not perfect, it's your fault. It's not mine. It's your fault. I've done it right. It's your fault. I'm angry, and maybe you ought to be punished. So it's all your fault. Now, it's not my fault. Stay with me. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's not my fault. Why do the denial? Why the strong denial in these people who have obsessed with anger? Okay, here's the principle. As long as you are in denial, you don't have to deal with it. Let me give you an idea. Show you what I mean. There's nothing wrong with my children. Nothing wrong with my child. As long as you convince yourself of that, you don't have to deal with it. There's nothing wrong with our marriage. Our marriage is fine. Many men and women say that. And believe it. Because if I say something's wrong with our marriage, then I've got to deal with it. I've got to deal with it. But if I can just say, there's nothing wrong with our marriage, and just completely ignore what really is going wrong, I don't have to deal with it. And if I can just say, it's not my fault that this isn't done, it's not my fault we're in the trouble we're in financially or whatever it is, it's not my fault that this isn't happening and that's happening, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, and mine, then I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to do that horrible thing to take responsibility for it. Don't have to deal with it. But if you acknowledge that something is wrong, you have to deal with it. So you're in denial to avoid. You're in denial to avoid. You blame others so that you don't have to take responsibility and do something about it, and in this case, even spiritually, with your relationship with God. Nothing wrong with me. It's you. And you must be punished. See? Denial to blame. Denial to avoid. Denial to blame. And since it's your fault, you should be punished. Anger is, of course, related to stress, anxiety, depression, or sad. Anger is directly related to so many things going on in our soul. Fear, guilt, frustration of life. Frustration with life, rejection, loneliness, hurt, disappointment. Example of how irrational anger is, and I could give a lot of these, but let's just pick one so we can move on to the next point. Road rage. Road rage. Other drivers really have nothing to do with this person's problem. The anger is sitting in their soul. And it's everybody else's fault. The anger is such there that it has to be intently expressed, tailgating, weaving, screaming, honking. Doing all the things that you and I understand that people do in this rage, this anger. The anger is just sitting there. And almost anything can break it off. They're losing control, and they can't do that. And now they're on the road, and they can't even control the road, and they're angry. And they're going to get you. They're going to get you. So we have to know how to deal with all of these things that are going on in our soul. Let's look at point six. Anger not only affects your soul, your life, and your relationship with others. I just want to throw this in because it's personal in my life and going to the gym and trying to take the correct vitamins and minerals and things. Anger strongly affects your body. Does great damage to your body, your heart, your blood pressure. And you've got to be careful here because we all know that the rage of expressed anger causes damage. But something that you may not be aware of that controlling anger by repressing it is right next to express anger on its effects of the blood pressure in the body. Oh, you're not expressing it, but you're repressing it. And that is doing great damage to the blood pressure. Depression is often just anger turned inward. And the solution is not to express your anger. That might be, well, you go and express it, it doesn't bottle up. No, that's going to do damage to your blood pressure, to your system. There's another solution. But I just want to throw in point six to show you the unbelievable damage of anger. It can just completely wipe out your human body. Anger can destroy you, and most certainly, it will. Here's a principle for you. Anger can destroy you. Most certainly, it will destroy relationships. And most importantly, it will destroy your fellowship with God. If all of these things I just said are true, and they are, why do so many Christians experience and use anger? Because people, as I said, anger works. Most of the time, if you will go into anger, express anger, you will get your way. You will control. You will make other people pay, generally speaking. They will have to be punished for what they've done to you in your mind, haven't done it in your mind. So, while we're rational, thinking people, all these things about anger, wow, then I've got to really work on it. But then you walk out of here, and 5 minutes later, you're in a situation where people aren't doing what you want, you're losing control, and it isn't happening with your husband, your wife, or children, family, work, social life, and all of that, and you want your way, kapow! Anger comes out. And you probably get your way. So that's why anger, if I can use a slang expression here, is why anger is so popular. It does intimidate people. It does cause people to back off. People personal to you. Oh, you're destroying your love. You're destroying your marriage. You're destroying your relationship with your parents, your children. You're ruining that. But you're getting your way. You think. You're making them be punished. You think. So anger can destroy you, most certainly will destroy your relationship with people, and most important, destroy your fellowship with God. Okay, in the closing few moments, let's introduce kind of a second part now, after those 6 points. Gosh, I should have made it seven. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's start looking at this now from the scriptures. We've made some general observations about anger. So now, first thing I want to do is give you three essentials about anger. Three essentials. I've already given them to you, but I want to give it to you here as introducing this next segment of our study. And we're going to start off with three essentials about anger. You walk away, remember these three things about anger. And the first essential, anger arises from living under Satan's lie. Anger comes from living under Satan's lie. You know what that is. Two, anger is part of the immune system of the flesh. Anger is the immune system of the flesh. And three, putting that into application, when you experience anger, you know that you're living under Satan's lie, that you are in the flesh, and you're not in the spirit. You're not in the spirit. Now that introduces and gets us ready now for the study in regard to Scripture. This is, I don't want to just give one point because I would be repetitious and all next time. So we'll start right here. Without any repetition of what we just covered tonight, so kind of go over your notes before class, because I want to go in now to what the Bible has to say, God's solution to anger, and what we can do about anger, not from the psychologist's point of view, not from the aerobics point of view, not from the you know, all of these things, yoga point of view, and on and on and on. What does God say? What is God's solution to what's going on inside of our flesh nature? I hope you've got a sense of how powerfully dangerous anger is, the seven-headed dragon, how it relates to stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we examine our flesh nature, we concur so much with you that it can't be saved, it can't be made better. And how thankful we are, you just crucified it. You just crucified it and raised us up in Christ in a new creation. And every time we go into anger, all we're doing is resurrecting that old flesh nature. I pray, Father, that you'll give me, through your Spirit, the words to express these things. I pray, Father, that those who are in hurt with the seven-headed dragon and stress, anxiety, and depression will get these tapes, hear them, and become relieved and set free of the seven-headed dragon and of stress and anxiety and depression in their life, and can live fully who they are in Christ and enjoy life to the fullest. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.